Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Marnie Svedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going.
Hi, everybody, and thanks for being with us today for another edition of Marnie's Friends. We're going to be talking about speakers today, especially speakers, how much should they charge, and if you're an event planner or someone who's just curious how in the world do speakers decide how to charge what they charge, you'll be able to learn some helpful stuff today, too. We're going to talk about ministry or business, talk about ministry by faith, talk about ministry by tent making, and also ministry for hire. And so that's what we're going to be covering during this hour. Our guest today is Rebecca Montgomery. She has 40 years of wide-ranging ministry experience, whether in a Bedouin hut, Haitian hospital, South American church, refugee camp, or American megachurch. Rebecca enthusiastically delivers Jesus' message in a practical, life-changing manner. She is involved with a wide variety of local and worldwide ministries. She's a prolific writer with 7 books under her belt, and also many curriculum plays, Bible studies, and over 1,000 articles. She is the 2010 recipient of the Beyond Me Award for humbly modeling You First Life in a Me First World, and also a local business and professional women's 2009 Women of the Year. She lives in Kewaunee, Illinois, with her husband of 41 years, John, and has 3 grown children and 3 wonderful grandchildren. For the past 8 years, she's been the editor of an online magazine, and this is for women who minister to other women, but presently on her front burner is the establishment of a first-ever cancer clinic in Haiti. Rebecca, welcome to you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I have known and watched your ministry for many, many years, and just am so excited to hear what you have on your heart to share with us about speakers should I charge. And the thing about so many gals who go into speaking is they really have a heart to do a ministry, but then all of a sudden sometimes there's like, well, but who's going to pay for the gas mileage to get to the event? And there's so many questions that come up, even for somebody who hasn't really thought about the money. It comes up at some point. And so that's why we're having you here today to do this training, and I'm just excited to hear what you have to share with us.
Well, it's a touchy subject, and it's not a one-size-fits-all answer. So our listeners should take from this and learn the scriptural principles and then approach the throne of God for definite instructions, because I suspect, I've seen it in my life and I've seen it in the ministries of others, that there isn't going to be one answer for every ministry situation.
Right.
So there's the principles. People need to learn those principles so that they can apply them to the different situations.
Yeah, I love that. And you also put together a handout for us. So if you haven't gotten that yet, listeners, you can grab that over at marniesfriends.com. Okay, well, let's go ahead and get started. And your first category that you were going to train on is called ministry or business. I love that title because I know for us, life equals ministry, business equals ministry, you know, everything, it's all kind of in one bucket, and so this is a great place to start. Go ahead.
Well, I've seen and have experienced it myself where a church or a women's organization will call a speaker to come, and they'll come for a weekend, and they'll teach their heart out. They'll have prepared for 2 months in advance, 3 months in advance, and they will have driven 350 miles, and afterwards they'll shake hands, give them a hot dog and a can of Coke, and send them on their way. And so you can't do that very often and
right.
be able to support. And it's not fair to the speaker. But on the other hand, this whole conversation that we're having, whether speakers should charge, would be bewildering to first century rabbis and early Christians, because when they received the gospel, an Arab Christian friend told me something very poignant about ministry and how we as Americans approach ministry. And he said it this way: when the Jews received the gospel, they turned it into charity. When the Romans received the gospel, they turned it into conquest. When the Greeks received the gospel, they turned it into philosophy. When Americans received the gospel, they turned it into business. And so we have to be very careful that we don't try to, that we try to emulate what God wants us to do with the patterns that he's given us in the scripture. And we have to be very careful that we are not charging people for the gospel, but we are worthy of our hire. So we need to be very, very careful with the area of money. If you recall the story of Simon Magnus of Samaria in the book of Acts, he was a man that was gifted in spiritual, quote-unquote, spiritual things. And when he saw the gospel presented, he accepted the gospel just enthusiastically. And then when he saw that Philip placed his hands on people and they received the Holy Spirit, he offered Philip money to do that. And, you know, Philip said, you know, you'll perish with your money. So we can't be offering the gifts of God for money, but we are worthy of the work that we do to present the gospel.
That's so great. Can you tell us again, just go back and just repeat what you said about the different stages?
Okay. There are people that will hire, churches and ministry groups will hire people to come, and they won't take care of their needs. And the Bible is very clear that if you are a workman, you are worthy of your hire. If somebody requests for you to come and share with their women's group or their organization, you are worthy to be paid, and you are supposed to be paid. You are supposed to be taken care of. And Jesus told his disciples when he sent them out two by two, if you go into a city, don't take extra clothes, don't take extra sandals, don't take extra money. Go in there, find somebody that will accept your ministry. And if they don't accept your ministry, shake the dust off your feet and go somewhere else. And when he said, accept your ministry, he also was including in that, if you read the context, he was including in that, accept your ministry by supporting you financially. So there is that aspect of it, is that you go by faith and God provides. And then there is another aspect of it, which is ministry by making tents. And that's where you have a profession on the side that permits you to minister where God leads you. And then there is a third category, and that's ministry for hire. And that is where you are paid by an organization or a group of organizations to not pursue other avenues of making money, but devote yourself entirely to the service and ministry that they're hiring you for, and that's called full-time Christian service. And that may be a pastor, that may be a missionary, that may be, a women's speaker. That may be where God has put someone else, but it's a full-time occupation, and it takes up all of their time so that God provides for them financially through that ministry.
That's just so good. Now, when you talk about ministry or business, do you have, like, criteria that you say, okay, this has crossed the line now. This was supposed to be a ministry or whatever, but now it's a business. Do you have a clear boundary for that?
I don't think there is a clear boundary. I have not seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked in a lot of mega churches, and when I was in college, I was on the staff of a large church, and my job was to take care of speakers and musicians that came in to minister, and these were world-renowned ministry people. And some of them it was clearly ministry, and others of them it was clearly business. You know, they would say whatever they needed to say to get an audience. And they would be whatever they needed to be to get an audience. And it was clearly business. It was a business decision. But most of them kind of crossed back and forth. They were trying to support the call that God gave them through the ministry. And I don't think there is a clear delineation, Marnie. I think that we have to, as people who serve the Lord, we have to constantly be laying our lives and our decisions and our ministries and the gifts that He's given us before the throne and say, Lord, if there's something here that displeases you, let me know, because I'm here to serve you and to serve your children and your church, your bride. And I don't want to be displeasing to you, so show me what to do and point out clearly if I'm crossing the line in any way that should not be crossed.
I love this conversation on several levels. Sometimes someone is elevated really high because they didn't pay any attention to the money at all. And sometimes someone else is, you know, really lambasted because they're charging an outrageous amount of money to come. And the reality is that God has people in all positions, people in all of those stages, and God is ordering their lives. And so it's so important for us to recognize that He works in mysterious ways, and He is going to get His work done one way or another. And the question isn't, is somebody else doing it right or wrong? The question is, what am I supposed to be doing?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And we have to not look at other people's ministries as the defining example for our ministry. We have to go back to the Scripture and see what the Scripture says. We can look at other people's ministries and go, I don't think the Lord's calling me to do that.
Right, you can say that, yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's like the old saying goes, if you can't be a good example, you can be a horrible warning. And sometimes other people's ministries are horrible warnings to us, and you go, no, that's not for me. I don't want to do that. The Lord's not leading me there. So
yeah. Now, but even scripturally, you have a couple of references to share with us that even scripturally there can, you know, it's not just crystal clear what everybody should do.
Well, that's right. When you look at Paul's life, at times God provided a benefactress or a benefactor for him. And then at times he made tents. You know, he was a tent maker, and he would go into a city and he would make tents. Especially if you look in the book of Thessalonians, he talks about how that when he was in Thessalonica, that he did not accept any money from anybody else. He worked as a tent maker and supported himself while he shared the gospel. And then when he went to Philippi, he met Lydia down by the river, and she was the seller of purple to the rich and famous, and she was his benefactor. She immediately accepted the gospel, brought him into her home. She provided for his needs until he got thrown in prison and beat up, so and made to leave the city of Philippi. But different times in different ways. So go back to the Scripture always and look at what the Scripture says. But I think we really need to constantly be asking the Lord what we should do about any given situation. We don't want to end up in the same circumstances as Ananias and Sapphira, who were supporting a ministry but did it fraudulently. They were not open and honest about what they were doing with their gifts. And we certainly don't want to be like Judas Iscariot, who was in full-time Christian service, but he didn't think he was getting paid enough and was pilfering out of the bag. So, you know, we've got to be honest and open. The Scripture says that we need to provide all things honest and open before all men. We need to be ready with an answer about our money, and need to keep scrupulous books, so that at any time somebody can come in and look.
Yeah.
so important. Well, this is Marnie. I'm visiting today with Rebecca Montgomery of RebeccaMontgomery.com, and she spells her name R-E-B-E-K-A-H, RebeccaMontgomery.com. We're talking about Christian speakers charging to go give talks, and should we charge? How much should we charge? How do we figure it out? We're going to take a little break and come right back, talk about ministry by faith, and then we'll be talking about ministry by tent making, and also ministry by hire, all before the end of the hour. So hang with us. We'll be right back.
Are you a speaker ready for some new connections? Join WomenSpeakers.com, the largest online directory of Christian women speakers in the world, currently enjoying over 25,000 hits a day. WomenSpeakers.com is a place for you to showcase your speaking availability to over 10,000 event planners. WomenSpeakers.com is a first-stop preference for leaders who are planning retreats, conferences, luncheons, brunches, and teas. Join us today over at WomenSpeakers.com, both free and paid listings available.
Well, hi, welcome back. This is Marnie Swedberg. Welcome back to another edition of Marnie's Friends. Our guest today is Rebecca Montgomery. She is the author of 7 books, also has been a speaker herself for many, many years with a wonderful repertoire of being everywhere from, what did we say earlier, Rebecca? We said Bedouin huts to South African churches, refugee camps, and mega churches in America. So you've been all over the place doing ministry in whatever way God calls you. I think that's one of the reasons that he has you be a spokesperson on this particular topic as well as many others, is because you've demonstrated with your life your willingness to just go and be whatever he wanted you to do and to be and to live by faith, but yet sometimes obviously the bills have to be covered, and so sometimes making choices to charge at different times. I don't really know how you did it, but I'm just so grateful that you're here to discuss this with us today.
Well, it's a touchy subject, and it's one that we really need to talk about, so that we're careful that we present all things honest and open before all men. We live in a time when we have seen great ministries fall because they haven't taken care of their books. They haven't taken care of things financially, and we don't want to do that. And by the same token, we want to live into other people's ministries. We want to give to other people's ministries and financially support them, but we want to make sure that they're using the money in a responsible, God-honoring fashion. I don't know about you, but in my mailbox, I get requests for ministry money all the time, mm-hmm. for a variety of ministries. And I always try to be responsible to check out those ministries before I donate to them. And I like to provide things open and honest, good books, so that people can donate to the ministries that I support with a clear conscience, and I can handle that money with a clear conscience. I don't know about you, but people oftentimes hand me money for different projects that I'm working on, and I try to be as scrupulously careful to make sure that money gets to those projects. In fact, I prefer just hand them an envelope and say, send this to the treasurer. Don't hand it to me, so that I don't ever use a penny of God's money for something that it is not intended to be used for. So I think we really need to be very, very scrupulous about this issue, so that it never comes back on us that we are liars or cheats or dishonest. Because when we are representing Christ, we have to be careful of his reputation and our reputation
by association.
Yes, we have to be very careful that we represent him clearly and honestly.
I love the saying I heard years ago, everything in the light so Satan has nothing to use against me in the dark. Everything
right.
in the light. So Satan has nothing to use against me in the dark. And I think that, you know, it's just a wonderful place for him to get us if we have something that's unclear or, you know, mm-hmm. something that's just ambiguous or not surely straightforward. Then we're just in a vulnerable position. Whereas if we just stay walking in the light with Jesus, everything on the table, everything in the light, and then he can just take care of us however he wants. And if someone brings an accusation, well, it's all right there. So, you know, it's just nothing to be afraid of. Well, let's go ahead and talk about ministry by faith. You have a wonderful example that you wanted to share.
Yes. Paul was, this was fairly early in Paul's ministry, that in the night he received a vision of a man from Macedonia begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And for Paul, like most of us, it's not about money. I mean, most of us have heard the voices of men and women in various parts of the world or various parts of our community or nation begging for help in our sleep. And sometimes awake, you know, we see those needs. So when we speak, it's not about money. It's about answering the vision that God has given you. It's a passion. It's fulfilling the dream that God has placed in our hearts and helping the people God has placed on our hearts. It's not about money. And so there's something about Paul's ministry fees that we want to remember, and that is that when Paul went to Macedonia, and the city in Macedonia he went to first was Philippi, and we've referred to this already, his first convert and ministry partner in Macedonia was not a man, but it was a woman named Lydia, a businesswoman. And Paul was called to Philippi to preach, and Lydia was called to earn and give. So Paul went there with no support. He just went there. He went there because that's where God called him. And that's what a lot of the women that subscribe and listen to your radio show, they're passionate about a certain group of women, and they want to spread the gospel there, and they need to follow that, because that is ministry by faith. That's the way God has called them to do things, and God will provide for them. And God calls some of us to minister that way at specific times. We receive this vision, we step out, we go to Macedonia or Paducah or wherever God has spoken to us to go, and God provides a Lydia in the person of a supportive husband or a sponsor or maybe a financial bequest. And Jesus sent his own disciples out by faith to cast out unclean spirits and heal. He sent them on this faith journey. He said, you know, freely you have received, give freely. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts or a bag for your journey. Just go to whatever city or town that you feel that I've called you to. Inquire who is worthy. Stay there until you go out. In short, minister free of charge and trust God to provide. And many ministries follow the disciples' example with exciting, faith-affirming results. And I saw my father firsthand, my pastor father, who specialized in rebuilding floundering congregations. He ministered by faith. And we were not a little family. There were 8 children in our family, Marnie. So when he went to a church, it was because he knew God had called him to that church. And his ministry philosophy was very simple. You know you are called, and wherever you go, you plant the word freely, and you tell God your needs, and you accept whatever God provides. And if not enough comes in for your needs, you need to be ready and willing to make tents, which we will discuss later. And, Marnie, I saw firsthand God provide in miraculous ways for our needs. You know, we were able to go to college. He was able to feed us and clothe us. We always had people staying with us, Marnie, that were down on their luck for a few days, you know, until we could get them going again. You know, I saw God provide in miraculous ways, and people who minister by faith will see these kinds of things. And if people are considering ministry by faith, I recommend, well, all ministries should study the life of George Mueller, because God crowned Mueller's ministry with great success, and he was able to educate 120,000 orphans without begging or offering doodads for financial support. He was able to do that because God met him. That was how he was called to minister, was to minister by faith, and God met him.
I love his story, and I love the other stories about ministries that are by faith too. That, I mean, and all, it's not like all other ministries are not by faith. They aren't. But what we're talking right now about is faith for the financial the finances to come in without having any price tags on anything. You just let God order it, and you let God provide directly however he chooses, through whatever sources he chooses, instead of through something. Well, for instance, we have a retail store and we have a restaurant, and it would be quite strange in the United States for us to just open our door of our retail store and say, come on in and just take whatever you want, whatever you feel like you need, and if you feel like paying us, fine, and if you don't feel like paying us, fine. In a retail environment or in a restaurant, you'd be thought, oh, that would just be insanity. But the reality is that when you're stepping out in ministry, it feels that insane. It feels that insane because actually it's the same difference. You've got something that you're offering that's of value, and you're letting other people determine whether they're going to value it or not. With finances, even if they value it greatly in other ways, they may not be able to value it in finances. So at that point, then you say to God, okay, I'm going to let you decide if or how much I am going to get paid. And it's a huge step of faith. And I always recommend, you know, just like with every other decision we make in our lives, you have to really be on your face before God. Is this what you want me to do? Because if God wants me to go that way, I don't want to go any other way. But if it's not God, well, then I don't want to go there, you know. So we just have to each individually get before God and say, is this what you're calling me to with my ministry, with this ministry we have?
You have to know you are called.
Yeah,
that's,
absolutely.
That's it in a nutshell. You have to know you are called. And if you think about it, we are calling people to lay down their lives for a God that they cannot see. They cannot touch, they cannot feel, and we're asking them to go and trust that invisible God for their very visible and real needs.
Right.
And, you know, and a lot of times we're asking their families to buy into that too.
Right.
And I realize it's a huge step of faith, but God meets people. When God calls people to minister by faith, he meets them every step of the way. And I can personally give you example after example of how God provided for our family and continues to provide when we step out on faith. When he's called us to step out on faith, plow new mission ground, he meets you. It's an exciting way to live. It's a scary way to live, but people are amazed at it. And
yeah.
What we saw in our family, in our lives, in my ministry as well, we saw God provide in ways that I could never have guessed.
Right.
Because we were willing to do what he said. When if he calls you to do it, he will provide.
Yeah. I think it was 1997 when I felt like I was supposed to live by faith in the area, in a new area for me, which was the area of time. And I put my watch away, and I put my alarm clock away, and I turned all the clocks in my house backwards except the ones my husband and kids needed, and I just learned how to let God order my minutes, and little did I know what he had in my future, that I would need more minutes than there were in the day, so therefore I couldn't pay attention to minutes anymore, and I was like, before that happened, I was like the one-minute manager. I mean, I was always just like, minutes were just critically important to me, and became really a student of faith, just where I would just listen and let the Holy Spirit lead me to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. What's next? When am I supposed to stop doing this and move on to the next thing? And I always say it's one of the most, and it has still been one of the most faith-building things I've ever done in my life. But again, I don't recommend it unless God calls you to it. If you just decide after hearing my little story, well, I'm going to put away my watch and my alarm clock, you know what? You might lose your job. Because if God... if God doesn't call you to it and ordain you for it, then he isn't obligated to provide for you in it. And so we have to say, God, what are you telling my heart?
Mm-hmm. Very well put. One thing I would say about ministry by faith is that you learn to be very specific with God, and he will lead you to that when you find out that you have needs. You tell God very specifically. You don't just say, give a general prayer, bless us this day. You learn to speak specifically into the need and are amazed at how God very specifically meets your needs, counting the hairs on your head, knowing exactly what you need because you've asked for exactly what the need is. It's just an amazing journey.
I often think that the reason he does that, the reason he loves such specific requests like that, because he already obviously knows what we need without us asking him, but I think it's for us. I really think it's for us so that we recognize that when we get it, that it absolutely had to come from him. It was so specific. It was so something that you couldn't have provided yourself and so specific. And I think he just loves to remind us how awesome he is.
Well, I've watched my parents and other people do this, but my mother is 92 today, and she has learned by living by faith to pray very specifically. And she doesn't have Alzheimer's. She has dementia, which means she can't remember what happened the last 2 minutes ago. But she's just who she always was, except when she prays for situations that she has no knowledge of, that she wouldn't remember if I had told her, but she will pray very specific prayers for people. I'll call her up and I'll say, Mama, will you pray for so-and-so? And she'll start praying, and the Holy Spirit will begin to speak through her, and she will speak the needs of these people very specifically that she doesn't even know. I mean, she's praying by faith. This is ministry by faith for a woman who cannot hardly remember what day of the week it is or what month it is. But when she prays, God gives her grace to continue to minister to people. And in the nursing home where she's at, people come to her and ask her to pray because she will pray for them in specific ways by faith and see astonishing answers to prayer. It's just a wonderful experience. You know God is very near when this woman who can't remember hardly anything can pray that specifically for me.
Well, I have a new prayer request for me, that's how I am when I get dementia. Oh, this is Marnie. We're visiting today with Rebecca Montgomery. Her website is RebeccaMontgomery.com. She spells her name R-E-B-E-K-A-H, RebeccaMontgomery.com. We're talking about whether or not Christians should charge for ministry and how to decide about it. We've been talking about ministry or business and ministry by faith. We're going to come back and talk a little bit about ministry by tents, tent making, and also ministry for hire. We'll be right back.
Are you registered to receive the Marnie Minute? Have you sometimes missed out on training or connection opportunities because you didn't know about them in advance? Visit Marnie.com and select Free Updates to receive email notifications so you will never miss a beat. That's Free Updates over at Marnie.com.
Welcome back. This is Marnie Swedberg. Our program today is about should speakers charge in the Christian sphere. And our guest today is Rebecca Montgomery. So delighted to have you with us, Rebecca. And if you're just joining us right now, I hope you will go back and listen to the archive of this training. We've been talking about ministry or business and then also ministry by faith. We're going to move now to ministry by making tents. So maybe, Rebecca, for those who aren't familiar with that term, maybe just give us a little background.
Okay. When Paul went to Corinth, he met a man and his wife, Aquila and Priscilla. And because he was a tent maker, as were they, he stayed with them and worked with them. And then that was how he supported himself, because every Sabbath he went down into the synagogue and he taught down in the synagogue. But it gave him a place of ministry. And he financially was supporting himself because there was no one else to financially. There was no church there. It was a fully brand new mission field, a brand spanking new mission field. And there were no Christians there except for Priscilla and Aquila and Paul. And so he made tents, literally made tents, to financially support himself. The concept of making tents is for people to have a trade outside of ministry so that they can go where God has called them. Now, an example of that would be a few years ago when I was in Israel, I encountered an elderly but very spry widow woman, and she was preaching the gospel outside of Jerusalem's Jaffa Gate. And she told me she had preached on 7 continents, and her ministry was entirely self-supported. She sold cosmetics, door-to-door cosmetics, and put the little catalogs in break rooms. And the money that came in from that, she supported herself financially. She lived on it, and she used that as her ministry money to go to places that God had called her. And I watched her. She's a totally intrepid little lady, and ministering to people as they went in and out of the gate. And God has called some of us to minister by making tents or working another job to support our financially support our ministry. And this is a trend that is growing, Marnie. Many long-term and short-term missionaries find that this is an excellent way to offer their services to the Lord without becoming a financial burden to other people or taking money from other ministries. So it's a wonderful way to share the gospel and to open new ground. You go to where God has called you, and you find a job, and you start making tents and start your ministry that way.
That is so cool, and I think this is maybe the time to add in here, too. I was hoping that there would be an opportunity today to kind of make a distinction between speaking for ministries and speaking for businesses or community service organizations or government organizations or whatever. There's these different groups that need a speaker, and they have a different approach to hiring or bringing in a speaker. For example, if you're going to talk at a local women's group and there's going to be 12 of them there and they meet every week and they have a different speaker in every week, it's highly unlikely you're going to get any money for that, or, you know, they wouldn't have the ability to pay speakers week after week after week, and yet their heart is to hear what God has for them to learn. And that's the direction that they've taken. And so, you know, you've got all the way down at that level, not down, but maybe to the far left, let's say at that level. And then you scale all the way up to, for instance, last year I coordinated programs. I coordinated over 100 events for a government agency. And some of those speakers easily charged $3,000 a day. Recently, I was putting together an expo, and some of those speakers charge $10,000 to just even get your foot in the door with them. So there's a huge, tremendously huge range. Some of it's on demand, supply and demand. Like, for example, if you're going to try to book somebody like, well, let's say Liz Curtis Higgs, or somebody in the Christian sphere that goes all the time, they're going to have probably a pretty specific rate that they'll say, this is how much we need. You know, this is what we do full-time. This is how much we need. Whereas if you're talking to somebody who only speaks once every year or two, or maybe twice a year or something, and they have a full-time job or whatever, they're going to be able to be a lot more flexible. There's so many variables here that it's just almost mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. But what we want to do during this program is to let listeners know that the bottom line comes down to, number one, who are you called to? And number two, how are you supposed to go? You know, and sometimes it's going to be this tent making. Speak to us a little bit about when the wife wants to speak and the husband, it would be the tent maker. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, we've done it both ways in my household. I've been a full-time pastor speaker, and now my husband is financially supporting me, paying my living expenses, so that I can speak where God calls me. And we're doing some new ministry things, and I need that. I need him to be the financial support of that. And it's a helpful way to get a ministry started. But I'm always thinking that God provides other venues and other revenue streams to come in and help support those new ministries. But it's a good way to get things started, and that's what Paul was doing in Corinth. Was he was someplace where there was no other ministry and no other support, so the tent making filled in the gap there. And I see that with women who are starting out as speakers and writers, that they need to have their husbands 100% emotional and spiritual support and financial support often to begin with, because you're going to end up speaking, you're going to end up speaking all different kinds of little places and big places and things while until you get well known enough that you can be a little bit more choosy as to where God is calling you to spend your time, and you can ask a little bit more when they are, like you're doing with your event planning. If they're having a large event, they're charging those people to come for that event, and you can charge a little bit more too then.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that the comment you made there that I just want to reiterate too is just making sure that your husband is 100% on board, not only financially, but in every other way. This can be wonderful for a marriage, or it can be very hard on a marriage. Because if you're traveling, if you're spending hours and hours preparing, if you're spending family finances on it, and he's not 100% with you, just watch out, because the fur will fly there, and you're responsible to make sure that this is not just your calling, but what he's envisioning that God has for you as well. So, and for those of you who are like, well, that's never going to happen, he's never going to get on board with this, I tell you one thing: if God wants something to happen, you know, he's a pretty good manager, and he has ways. So they don't always include you being manipulative. So I think just to start your ministry by faith that if God really wants you to do it, God's going to allow your husband to be 100% on board with it.
I agree. I watched my surgeon brother and his nurse wife use the tent-making technique for about 40 years as they established and maintained a hospital and clinic in Haiti. And they worked stateside to support themselves, and then they would go to Haiti and work down there. And they put a number of young, talented, professional people through medical school who became doctors and nurses who have now taken their place down in Haiti. And it's very common today that doctors and nurses and plumbers and electricians and architects and all different kinds of people in all different walks of life, they give their time and talent to various missions worldwide, but they support themselves financially. They come on those short-term or long-term mission trips, and they're entirely self-supporting. And they're following in the sandal steps of Old Testament preachers and prophets and musicians such as Nehemiah, who was a cupbearer to the king, but also a church builder. And David and Solomon, who were political figures, heads of state, who also ministered. And Isaiah, who was a bureaucrat, and Daniel, who was a political advisor, and Amos, who was a shepherd, among others, who held jobs, and they also prophesied. But when you think about tent-making ministry, there are time restrictions to consider. But the tent-maker ministry model provides flexibility and freedom that is not available to sponsored ministry. While ministries are brainstorming fundraisers and or reporting to boards, tent-makers have the independence to go where God has called them. And they are largely answerable to themselves and to God and the IRS. So, you know, it's an amazing type of a financial model. They need to keep, like always, good books.
Yeah, right. And we'd mentioned that earlier. Well, this is Marnie. We're visiting today with Rebecca Montgomery. Her website is RebeccaMontgomery.com. She spells her name R-E-B-E-K-A-H, RebeccaMontgomery.com. We're going to come right back and finish off the hour with Ministry for Hire. Are there ministries that are masquerading as, or businesses that are really masquerading as businesses or ministries? And also, how do we make sure not to do that, and how can we run it really more like a business if we need to do that and still be under God's umbrella there? We'll come right back.
Is it ever your turn to come up with fresh ideas for parties, events, or retreats? Check out the fully developed theme sets at ideasforwomensministry.com. That's ideasforwomensministry.com. Ideas, publicity templates, and more. ideasforwomensministry.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. This is the last segment of our hour with Rebecca Montgomery. She's joined us today to talk about should speakers charge? How much should I charge? How do I make these kinds of decisions? And we've been having a lot of great groundwork going on before up till this point. During this last segment, we're going to talk about ministry for hire. And, you know, first let's talk, Rebecca, is there any biblical example? I guess, you know, maybe you talked about tent makers who also were, you know, serving God too through ministry. But what are some biblical examples of people who were ministry for hire?
Well, Jesus said, when he sent his disciples out two by two, the worker is worthy of his support. And, you know, Jesus said it, so we believe it. And Paul said, even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. He didn't always do that because he was oftentimes opening new mission fields, but that's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, is that the Lord commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. So there were lots of good examples. The priesthood in the Bible, Jewish priesthood, they lived by the ministry. They received their support from the sacrifice, from the sale of meat that was offered to sacrifice. So they made their money, their living from the preaching or service to the people. So it was ministry for hire.
I love that example. The priest, that's the one that came right away to mind for me. Just because it was from the very beginning that God set it up that way, that this was not at all a bad thing. In fact, this was a highly honored thing to be able to not have any property of your own, but to be totally dependent on God's people for your income. It was an honor to be a Levite.
Well, that's right. But it was a position you were born to, not something that you were called to. And that's the difference between the Jewish priesthood and the Christian priesthood. The Jewish nation were God's chosen people by right of birth. We are God's chosen people by right of new birth. And so in that new birth comes a new order. So there is a new priesthood in which we are all called to serve Christ. We are all called into this holy priesthood. And some of us are called to do that ministry as tent makers, which are most of the people. I mean, we're all called into that holy priesthood to minister, and most of us will work other jobs, work at Walmart, work at a dry cleaner's, and we'll minister for Christ wherever we happen to be. And some of us are called to leave that occupation and go somewhere else, and God provides. And then others of us are called by an organization to devote our full-time energies, and they will compensate us by paying for our living expenses and our retirement and whatever else comes along.
Yeah. Now, one of the things I was going to mention here at this point is that even right down to the structure of how you set up your finances is completely up to God as well. I know I get a question a lot, you know, do I need to set up a nonprofit organization in order to do this, in order to be a Christian speaker? And the answer is, well, maybe. It just depends. So a lot of people just do it with a Schedule C on their tax records. Some people set up a nonprofit organization. For me, what we started with was when my first book came out in 1996, we created a corporation that would handle all of my published works. And we ended up pulling our team together, advisory team together, and asking at one point, the question had come up, why aren't you a nonprofit organization? And it's like, well, we never even imagined that this was going to go where it did when we started it, you know? And so what happened is that the team got together, and as a team, we prayed about it, we talked about it, and there wasn't one person on our team that said they thought we should go nonprofit. They just said, no, just leave it the way it is. It's it's just fine the way it is. You're not doing anything that would prevent you from being a nonprofit, but at the same time, it's working the way it is, and there's really no reason. So however it is that God puts it in your heart, or maybe someone else is giving you advice, you really need to, again, just with the setup of it as well as with the financial part of the whole financial part of it, you know, be just yielded to God. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? And what do you, you know, I want to go back to where we started kind of about ministry for hire, that there really are some, quote, ministries that really are not, they are not really walking with Christ in their ministry. They're really doing it for the money.
Yeah. Well, and what I see is an increasing trend toward that in church marketing of themselves. You know, I'm involved with a lot of big churches, Marnie, and it breaks my heart to hear them preaching a gospel that is really not gospel. It's only worldly philosophy with a little Jesus sprinkled on it, like sugar on a cookie. And it's not the gospel, but they have decided that this message will bring in their target audience. And it's really all about money when you get right down to it, because they have to have a certain number of people coming in and giving a certain amount of money in order to maintain these huge facilities or any kind of a facility. So they have trimmed the gospel so that they don't offend anybody, and so it's all this feel-good philosophy, send me money, give me money, and God will bless you. When people say that, be very, very careful. Beware. That's not of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of back to checking the heart, checking the motives. And God is always, you know, what's beautiful is that God is always fully aware of our motives, even if we aren't. God is aware of our motives. And if we start to go down the wrong path, but our heart and desire really is to do it God's way, to be his servant, to do whatever it is that he's asking us to do, however it is that he wants, then he'll bring us back into line again. And sometimes it's a little painful. Other times it's just hilarious. Other times, you know, I mean, however it is, just like a loving parent, he's not going to just let us wander aimlessly and make bad decisions endlessly if our heart is to do what he wants us to do. And so there's so much comfort there for me, I guess, because I'm a mistake maker. So there's a lot of comfort there for me that he's got my back, and he's going to bring me back into line if I get out of line.
Well, and I think those of us who minister publicly and professionally, or have a larger ministry than the typical believer does, we are subject to more correction from the Lord. Mm-hmm. And rightly so, because if we are proclaiming his name, we are his representative. And I can't just go out and say, I want to be a spokesman for Brad Pitt. You know, I can't just do that and, you know, start, you know, speaking for Brad Pitt. And speaking for Jesus, we're all called to do that. And Jesus is very careful of his reputation. You know, when he calls people to his side to be his followers, he calls them to speak for him. And we have to be very careful of his reputation. And as such, he disciplines us and chastens us even harder than the regular sit-in-the-pew Christian, because we are more publicly we've been given a bigger platform. Therefore, if we make a mistake, it reflects on him. If we're dishonest, it reflects on him. And so he chastens us even sharper and harder. I sometimes have young women and men come to me and they say, you know, I'm thinking about going into the ministry, and that's one thing I tell them. You know, count the cost. It's like when Paul was struck off his donkey on the way to Damascus, and when God spoke to Ananias and said, go speak to him and go bring, you know, restore his sight, he said, I will show him the things he must suffer for my name's sake. And one of the things that you suffer for the blessing and privilege, the tremendous privilege of sharing the gospel in a public venue, is that you are held to a higher standard by God as to how you handle your life, your reputation, and your finances, because they are his reputation and his finances.
I love that, and I think the book that really brought that home to me in such a huge way was Brother Yun's book called Heavenly Man. And I tell you, that guy has still such a ministry, but wow, he is not allowed to step out of line one inch. Without the consequences that came into his life when he would step out of line an inch were just mind-boggling. And the same with Moses, you know. He hit the rock instead of speak to it. Wow, huge consequence for that. You know, didn't get to go into the promised land, although he did get to do the best thing, which was to go home to Jesus. So that was good. But you know, just to know that the larger the exposure that you have before Christ, then the more responsible, well, I guess the more quickly and the more clearly he chastens you quickly to get you back into line for what he needs to accomplish through you. And that's just how it is. You know what? Did I just lose you, Rebecca? Did we lose you? Hello, Rebecca. That's quite odd. My dashboard's showing me that the line with Rebecca on it has dropped. And so if we don't happen to get her back, we are nearing the end of the hour. And I just want to finish this off then without her, unfortunately, but you can go learn about more about Rebecca Montgomery at her website, RebeccaMontgomery.com. It's RebeccaH. And she's just one of my heroes of faith, and I've been watching her ministry for a long time, and here she is back. Good deal. It cut you off, Rebecca.
I know it.
How rude.
Satan hates us to tell people the truth about service.
He does. He does. And we just have about 2 minutes left here. But, Rebecca, if somebody goes over to your website at RebeccaMontgomery.com, what will they find there?
They'll find a lot of articles and research and information and helpful hints on ministry and Bible studies and just a whole hodgepodge of stuff. However the Lord leads me, that's what I'm putting up. And it's a constantly evolving website, and there's going to be some new things coming up as we're working on establishing this cancer center in Haiti. Marnie, it's really exciting what the Lord's doing.
Oh, cool. Yeah. And there's more about that at your website?
Yes, there will be. We're putting links up. It's evolving so quickly that I am struggling to keep up with it.
I can imagine. I always call those seasons just sitting on the back of a rocket ship and just like hanging on for dear life and watching what God's doing, huh?
I'll tell you what, a journey of faith is an exciting journey.
It is.
There's one thing I wanted to mention, and that is when people ask a speaker, do you have a fee? The way I deal with that is I ask them if they have a budgeted amount.
Right.
And if the amount is in the ballpark of my time and expenses, I'll just say thank you. And if it's less, and unless I feel clearly called to go, I usually tell them what my expenses would be for that time. I wanted to finish that thought because there's a lot of people out there who don't know how to charge. And the bottom line is if they can provide for your time and expenses and you feel called to go, or even if they can't provide and you still feel called to go, there's a way to deal with it without, you know, blatantly saying I require, you know, X, Y, and Z plus Perrier water in my dressing room. I mean, you don't have to do that.
I love Well, this is Marty, and we've been visiting today with Rebecca Montgomery of RebeccaMontgomery.com. Hope you'll go over and visit her website. Thank you, my dear.
Thank you.
Such a privilege. Well, you guys have a great rest today, and we'll see you next time on Marnie's Friends. Bye-bye.